Okay. We're at the bottom of Shabbos Beis Mabez. I was just asked to announce if anybody here or out there on the web who wants to, our dinner is next week. If anybody wants to send in their ads or show their appreciation to the shul for all the services that we provide, please show it through the ads and anything you want to donate. And what's the email? cbeydinner@yahoo.com. Okay. cbeydinner@yahoo.com. Okay. Beis Mabez on the bottom, three lines on the bottom. Omalei Rav Masa La'abaya. So if you remember what we're talking about, we're talking about the Mishnah, which has the cases of Hotzah. Yitzias Hashah B'Shtayim Shehein Arba. The Mishnah had said, we discussed how this Mishnah fits with the Mishnah in Shavuos, and the Mishnah says, Shtayim Shehein Arba. For the cases of Hotzah, for each person, for the Ani standing outside, and for the Balabai standing inside, two De'oraisa that are four Derabanan, meaning two more Derabanan, four altogether. That's what the Mishnah had said, and we discussed what the cases were yesterday. So, Amalei Rav Masna La'abaya, Hatimni Havyin, Tarti Srei Havyin. There's only eight, there should be 12. In other words, the Mishnah said there are two De'oraisa that are four Derabanan for each person. So if you add those up, that means four Da'araisa, four ends, meaning each person, the Ani and the Ashir, can be Chayav Da'araisa in two ways. They do a full Hotzah or a full Hachrasa. So those are four cases of Chiyav Mida'araisa. And then there are, they each have two more on a Darabanan level. So really there's eight altogether. So says the Gemara, really, there are 12 altogether. Because if you add it up, each person could do the whole act, could do the whole Akira and the Hanacha together. So that's two for each person. That's four. But then each of them could do two Akiros, which we'll talk about in a minute, and each of them could do two Hanachos. So let's just take one person. Let's say the Ani stand on the outside. The Ani could do the Da'araisa in two, that's two. And then he could do Akira in two ways, just Akira, and he could do Hanacha in two ways. So that's six altogether for him. So if you add it all up, six for the person outside, six for the person inside, it should be 12 altogether. What are the Akiros? Just take. The Ani could do the whole Akira and Anacha together. He could do, meaning in one direction and the other direction. Those are the two Daraises. But also, Rashi explains, let's say the Ani picks it up outside and he puts it into the hand of the Balabayas, which is outstretched into Rishas Arabim. And then the Balabayas brings it inside. That is called an Akira for the Ani. And the Balabayas does the Hanacha inside. A. Or, let's say, the Ani sticks his hand inside with the object, and then the Baal Bayis takes it out of his hands in Rishus HaYachid. So again, Rashi says, that's called an Akira for the Ani. And then the Baal Bayis does the Hanacha. So those are two cases where the Ani does the Akira, and the opposite cases would be the cases where he could do the Hanacha. So therefore, there are another four cases where each of them can be chayiv. So if you have two Da'araisa for each person, and four Darabanan for each person, that's six for each person, six and six is 12. But the Mishnah, if you add up all the numbers, only has eight. That's the question. Why is it Shtayim Shein Arba Befinim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz, two which are four, eight altogether, why isn't it 12? So again, Amalei Rav Masna La'abaya, Hatimni Havyin, Tarti Srei Havyin. So the word says, Vatzekar L'taymeich, Shitzar Havyin. According to you, Shitzar Havyin, there should be 16. Why 16? Because says the Gemara, again, you might know the answer already, but says the Gemara, there are also cases listed that are not counted. The cases where each of them does the whole thing. Let's say the Ani does the Akira and the Hanacha, and the Baal Bayis just acts like a stone, and it's put it to his hand. The Mishnah also said that's Pater and Mutter, but if you include those cases, that there should be 16 altogether, not just 12. If you include the cases where each person does everything, another person really does nothing, but he's still involved, he still gets it, put it to his hand, so why don't you include those cases as well? So why don't you say there are 16 cases in the Mishnah, and not just 12? So the Gemara answers, for that question, there's a simple answer. Bishlama Baba Deresha Pater Umutter Loktani. Which is, come on, what do you mean? 16? You can include the case where, let's say, the Ani does the Akira and the Hanacha, and the Balabayas just acts as a receptacle, and he gets it in his hand. He does nothing! That's, we said yesterday, that Pater in the Mishnah means Mutter. Not just Pater meaning Asur Midrabanan. It means Mutter. So that's, of course we know that's not included, because then that's not included in, you didn't do anything. It's like if I'm sitting in my house. What, the Mishnah has to tell me that if I'm sitting in my house, I'm not violating Malacha of Hotzah? No, you're not doing anything. You're just standing there, and you act like a chair. And the person puts it in your hand, you didn't do anything. So those are obviously not on the list. Bishlo Baba de Reisha Pater Mutaloktani. Elababa de Seifa de Pater Avalasar Kasha. No, the only question that we're asking is cases where the person's involved somewhat. He's at loose doing an Isser Drabanan. The case is where he does either an Akira or a Hanacha. And as we said, each person could do Akira in two ways and Hanacha in two ways. And they can also do the full Akira and Hanacha in both directions. One bringing it in, one bringing it out. So that's why we're back to the original question of there should at least be 12. Forget the 16, there should at least be 12 in the Mishnah listed. So Gemara, meanwhile, before it answers the question, asks a side question, which happens to me, bring up a lot of Shas material. Mi'ika b'kulei Shabbos patru mutter? What do you mean? We're saying, and we already said this yesterday because that's to explain the Mishnah, but really we're just going to go a little backwards in time. Is it possible that the Mishnah means, when the Mishnah says pater, it means pater or mutter? Remember, when one person does everything, the Akira and the Hanacha, right, the beginning of the Mishnah, it said the Balabai does everything, so he's a chayiv, and the Ani is pater. So we said yesterday what it means. But here the Gemara say, can it mean pater or mutter? But we know, v'ha'amar Shmuel, kol paturi de Shabbos, pater aval asr bar mehani tlas, pater or mutter. Shmuel said that whenever it says the word pater in Hilcha Shabbos, it means pater and asr, meaning asr midrabanan, except for three cases. And this is not one of those three cases. So how can we interpret the Mishnah to mean pater or mutter? What are those three cases? As we said yesterday, Rashi again emphasizes this. The word chayiv always means chayiv midaraisa, chayiv a karban. You are obligated to bring a karban. Pater or aser, one of those two words always means aser midarabanan. Mutter means mutter. But Shmuel says there are three exceptions to the rule, where pater means mutter. But the Gemara's question is that this Mishnah is not one of them. But what are the three cases? Tzeidas tzvi, catching a deer. Vitzeidas nachash, catching a snake. Umafis mursa, and popping a pimple because it hurts you, not because you want to create a Pesach. In all those three cases, when the Gemara says pater by those three cases, it means they're mutter lechatchila to do, which we'll talk about why in a minute, those three cases. But either way, asks the Gemara, how could you interpret our Mishnah as meaning pater umutter? It's not one of the three cases where Shmuel says it's mutter. So the Gemara answers, ki yitzrafei l'shmuel te peturei te ka'avid maisa. Peturei te lo ka'avid maisa ikatuva. Similar to what we just said before, Shmuel doesn't have to say, anytime it says pater, it means pater mut, pater aser, except for these three cases. It doesn't have to say, except for cases where you're doing nothing. In case where you're doing nothing, he doesn't have to say anything. In a case where you're involved in an act that looks like it should be a problem, then he has to tell you, oh, don't think it's a problem, it's not a problem. So in a case, you're popping a pimple, because it hurts you. So in that case, it looks like you should be chayiv, should be aser. There he has to come and tell you, ah, it's mutter. Where you're in your sukkah and there's a bee buzzing around and you're allergic to bee stings. It's going to kill you it's going to cause you a lot of pain if it bites you. So there, and you trap it. So there, Shmuel has to say, oh, look, might look like you're doing something wrong. Ah, it's mutter. So that's case where it's a chiddush, where Shmuel has to say, but let's say you're sitting in your house doing nothing, and somebody happens to put something on top of your head, or on top of, in your hand. You did nothing. Shmuel has to tell you that's mutter. Of course that's mutter. That's not, Shmuel doesn't have to tell you that that's the exception to the rule. It's pashut. So says the Gemara, that's why it's not a problem to interpret our Mishnah to mean mutter, even though it wasn't on Shmuel's list of three exceptions that are mutter. So then, fine. So let's stop there for a minute. We still didn't answer the original question, but at least we said it's not a problem with Shmuel, the Mishnah means pater or mutter. What do you mean these cases are, why are these cases mutter? Trapping is one of the avos malachos, sud. Right, sud is one of the avos malachos. Which is interesting, related to what we said yesterday, there's a tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, where Avnei Nezer says, seda is malacha gerua. It's also one of those malacha geruos. Because what do? You didn't change anything. Right, let's say the svar that we said yesterday, that malacha gerua by hotzah, because you didn't change anything in the object. So by tzad, you trapped an animal, but you didn't do anything yet. You trapped it. Okay, so what do you do? Shechting it, skinning it, all those are changes. But trapping an animal, you know, what do you do? So he calls it in a way, I don't think Rishonim say this, but at least in a way, the Avnei Nezer says in a tshuva that seda might also be a malacha gerua. That's what we'll talk about that in a couple months. The status of the animal, that's true, but usually by the Malacha Shabbos, there's a physical change, not just a halachic change. You know, getting married on Shabbos is a status change, but it's only Asur Midrabanan, because of Mekach Umemkar. Right? That status change is not what we mean. Why are these cases mutter? So Tosas talks about it, the Gemara talks about it later on, but second Tosas here talks about it, the top Tosas talks about Lifnei Iver, like we spoke about yesterday. The second Tosas says, Bar Mehani Tlas. And so Tosfos asks, Tosfos asks a question first before he explains. Well, let's do the second half of Tosfos first. Tosfos says the last two skinny lines, Mishum Tsara Sharule Rabbanan, because of pain, it's allowed. In other words, we need background for a minute. When you trap, usually, why did they trap in the Mishkan? They trapped because they wanted the animal. They want the animal. They want to catch the animal in order to use. If you trap for any other reason besides because you want the animal, that's what's called in halacha, a malacha she'in etzricha legufa. A malacha that is done for a purpose other than what they did it for in the Mishkan. That's one definition. That's what Tosfos holds as the definition. So if I trap in order so that the animal doesn't bite me, not because I want it, but because the animal doesn't bite me, so then that's called the malacha she'in etzricha legufa, and we paskin, it's a machlokas, we paskin putter. We paskin putter means only asr midrabanan. It's asr, it's a chamer, asr midrabanan, but it's only asr midrabanan. Once we have an isr midrabanan, then sometimes we find, like here, mishum tsara lo gazr bei rabanan. Versus that pain, the rabanan never meant their isr to apply in a case of pain. For example, taking medicine on Shabbos. A chola she'ein bo sakana, right, category 2 out of 4, right, chola she'ein bo sakana, ein bo sakana, we still have the bottom two can't take medicine, but the top two, even in cholosha ain bo sakana, if you have to go to bed, if you're no filamishkav, so in that case you're allowed to take medicine. Why are you allowed to take medicine? What do you mean? The Rabbanan said you can't take medicine. The answer is, taking medicine on Shabbos is an issur d'rabbanan. The Rabbanan never meant their gzeirah to be instated in a case where you're in pain. So too here, trapping is usually an issur d'oraisa. But that's only if you're trapping to get the animal. But let's say I'm in my sukkah, halacha l'maisa. If I'm in my sukkah and I know bee stings hurt a lot, so then maybe if you want, we spoke about if you want to take two cups and leave a drop of space open and take it outside. Okay, that's good. But that's not called trapping. Just because the bee is not smart enough to find the little hole to get out, still mutter. That's not a psikresha. But even if, says the Gemara, it says Tosfos here, it says the Gemara, let's say if I trap it totally, you know what? It's probably mutter as well. Because, why am I trapping it? Not to trap because I want the animal. I'm going to trap it so it doesn't hurt me. So at most, it's an issur d'rabbanan. It's a malacha she'in etzricha legufa. And b'makom, that pain could be caused to me, the rabbanan never meant their gzeirah to stand. So that's the reason. Say the tzvit, say the snachash is mutter, and even mach is mursal. We have a pain by the pimple. Why did they build, this was probably bone or makam epadish, why did they do this in the Mishkan? To create a Pesach. You're just doing it to alleviate your pain, to let out some of the pus. So that's why it's mutter. That's why these cases are mutter.
Why would the Mishnah use different language? I mean, if they would hold putter usus, let them use the word putter, and when we first later on, the putter is usus.
So why doesn't it say mutter? It's a good question. I'm not sure. Why does it say mutter? It just sounds like to be parallel. I think to be parallel. Also, yeah? I don't know. I didn't have chance to look at it somewhat. The discussion here is by Tzedas Nachash. But Tzedas Svi, you're right, maybe it's somewhat different. I just didn't, I'm not sure. Okay, just one other Ha'ara. Tosfos later on in Kuflam and Hay also quotes this principle, and Tosfos says this is why a woman is allowed to express her milk. She's in pain on a nursing woman who's getting engorged is allowed to express her milk on Shabbos. So obviously, to feed the baby is mutter. But usually, we know that milking a cow, lahavdil, milking a cow is an issur d'oraisa of dash. Milking a cow to get the milk. So therefore, to get milk, let's say if a woman who wants to pump, in order to save her milk, so that could be an issur d'oraisa to save her milk. So, but what about if she's in extreme pain? So Tosfos says, if she's expressing it because she's in pain, so that's a malacha she'in etzricha legufa. She's not getting the milk out because she wants the milk. She wants the milk out to get rid of her pain. So it's at most an issur d'rabbanan, but makom is an issur d'rabbanan. Rabbanan would not go there, and therefore it would be mutter. Again, the chachid l'poskim say to put some soap into the bottom so it's not usable right away. But anyway, that's part of the heter. This is just one more line of Tosfos. Then we'll continue. Tosfos asks the beginning of Tosfos bar. Tosfos says he quotes from the Gemara later on in the second parak, that we know there's a third case of patur and mutter. The Mishnah there says, by a chola she'ebo sakana, you know, patur, which means mutter. So why isn't that on Shmuel's list? Shmuel has three exceptions, patur and mutter. So why isn't that case of chola on the list? And Tosfos says, no, because that's pashut. Come on. For a sick person to be able to take medicine, even by a chola she'ebo sakana. So therefore, that's mutter, but, you know, it's obvious. That's what Tosfos says. The hamilsa de pshita hivelo itzrach le shmuel ashmi'inan. That's what Tosfos says. I was looking around. Maybe it's out there. I just didn't. I didn't look in enough places. Maybe they could give one could give another answer. That maybe by chole, not that it's pasha, but it's we paskin that chole and pikuach nefesh is dechuya but tzibur. So yes, it's going to be mutter, but maybe the lashon of mutter wouldn't be as appropriate, even though you're allowed to do it lamaisa, but in lamdis it's dechuya and not hutra, which is a concept that we'll discuss in the future, and maybe that's why it's not on Shmuel's list. Okay, not for now, but that's if you see another answer, you can let me know if you see that anywhere. Okay, let's go continue in the Gemara. So remember, well, let's get to the back to the context of the Gemara. The Gemara said, there should be 12 in the Mishnah. And then the Gemara says, that's 16 in the Mishnah. Said, no, there shouldn't be 16 because that's mutter, that's pashid, that you're not doing an act. But let's go back to the original question. There should be 12 in the Mishnah. But the eighth line, Mikol Makom Tartis Rehavian, right, there should be 12. Back to that question. So the Gemara answers, Piture de Ispuhu Lidechi of Chatas Kachashiv. Delo Asibuhu Lidechi of Chatas Lo Kachashiv. Rashi alluded to this on the Mishnah already, and that is, the Gemara only listed cases of full daraisas, meaning where a person does an akira and a hanacha, and cases which can lead to a daraisa, meaning the akiras. Just doing a hanacha can never get you to a daraisa, because you did the second half of the malacha. All the cases of just akiras are in the Mishnah, that they're asur midrabanan, because those might lead to a daraisa. Right? You can't do the first half of the malacha, because you might come to do the second half of the malacha. So that's why those are in the Mishnah. Not saying that it's mutter, but the Mishnah only lists cases that are da'oraisa and cases that can lead you to bring a carbon chatas. Those are all the akiros. Fine. Period. So then the Gemara asks, Shnehem Peturin. We said in the case where, so we finished the number in the Mishnah. So now we're talking about a case, the second half of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, where one person does the Akira and one person does the Hanacha, they're both Pater. Meaning Pater, Asur Midrabanan. So the Gemara says, one second, V'ha'isavida malacha bibeinayu. A malacha was done between them. So maybe you should say, so shouldn't there be a carbon brought? Tosfos here says it means the second guy. The second guy who finished off the malacha, shouldn't he bring the carbon? So what that it took two people to do. But, you know, the malacha was done. So isn't the focus, let's just say this is the assumption of the question, isn't the focus on Shabbos that a malacha was done? Don't focus on one person doing it, but a malacha was done. Shouldn't somebody be held responsible? There was a malacha of Otsa done on Shabbos. So what, so everybody's going to get off scot-free?
No, there wasn't.
Oh, so there wasn't by one person. But so that's going to be the answer. The Gemara's Havamina is that maybe you should think that don't focus on person, focus on the Maisa. There were two people here involved in a Malacha being done. And where do we know that that's not, there's no Chiyuv? So Gemara says the following. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, me am haaretz ba'asosa. Possibly by carbon chatas. Ha'osa es kula, v'lo ha'osa es b'ksasa. It's a special limud that you're only chayav a carbon chatas if you do an entire malacha. If you only do half of a malacha, you're not chayav a chatas. You might be chayav chatzi shir, you might be chayav for other things, but a carbon chatas requires a complete malacha. Yachid v'asa osa chayav, chayav, shnayim v'asa osa peturin. That is the halacha of shnayim shesa'u, two people that combine to do a malacha. Then that is putter, that is not asa. Like we said yesterday, if two people carry a pencil out to the street, they are putter. Even though they both did a malacha, they each did part of a malacha, they each did do a complete malacha, and therefore it is putter. If two people carry out a piano, so that's not called two people doing a malacha, because there you need both people doing the malacha, and therefore both would be chayiv, because they each did a complete malacha. But in a case of shayiv shesa'uhu, where one person could have done it, It is putter. There are some mefarshim that explain this to be based on kilachar yad. We're going to learn later on in the tzaddiks that shinui is also midrabanan. So two people doing a malacha that one person could normally do, that could also be looked at as a shinui. But either way, from here, it's based on a pasuk. Chatzi shir is not chayav a carbon chatas. Even the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, chatzi shir, asur midaraisa, asur midarabanan. We paskin asur midaraisa, but that just means your points in shemayim, you're gizanissa daraisa. But it doesn't mean you're not chayav a carbon. There's never onshin by chatzi shir. There's only an issur. Only. Interesting. They have to figure out exactly how to define makam apatish. How some of Farshim ask, every malacha should be makam apatish. We discussed that a little bit on a Tuesday night. Every time you cook, it should be makam apatish. Every time you clean. So there has to be some type of geder for makam apatish. Right? The Gemara in Ayin Hay says, kol mishum gemar malacha chai mishum makam apatish. So what does that mean? Every malacha. So we're going to have to talk about it. Okay. Itmar nami, amar Rav Chiya bar Gamda. Right, we also learned that Rav Chiya bar Gamda said, Nizraka mipidiyah chabura. There was a statement thrown out from the chabura. V'yamru, and they said, Ba'asosa yachid, ba'asosa. The pasuk says, Ba'asosa, yachid sha'asa chayiv, shnayim sha'asa'uhu paturin. One person who does it is chayiv, two that do it are pater. So interesting, Tosfos here points out, Interesting, simple question. Tosfos Itmar on the bottom. Tema, demaisi siata mishmaitza lebraisa. The Gemara just brought a Tanya, which is a braisa, from the Tanoim. And all of a sudden it says, Itmar Nami, we also learn from a story of the Amoraim. Okay, thank you very much. Usually it's the opposite. Usually you have an Amora saying something, and then you say, oh, we learned it in the Mishnah, we learned it in the braisa, we learned it in the Tosefta, one of the three works of the Tanoim. But here you have a braisa, and you say, oh, Itmar Nami, what's the big deal? So in Marnami, that's an awkward. Why is it bringing me a story of the Amoraim? You know, to back up what the Tana said. So Tosa says, "V'yesh lomar did Israel come via chabur to come and a chabur shel Tanaim." Maybe it means the story of Tanaim. A little difficult. This is coming via chabur. It doesn't sound that way. The riti reads me should the brisa de la'el lo misni bay or pei reboshia. It wasn't a hardcore brisa. It wasn't one of these brises that were learned by Rabbi and Reboshia. There's a Tosfos at Baba Basra, Naf Samach Aleph, which says that maybe you're right, the Gemara is not interested in telling you an added chiddush. The only time when you have to say there's an added chiddush is when the Gemara says va'od. If the Gemara says va'od and something, then the following has to be something mechiddush. But in a chinami, sometimes you have places, this is just the methodology of Gemara comment, sometimes you have cases where you have story of the Amoraim to be with the Tanaim, right? So he says, interestingly, just like we say in a davening, sometimes it's Shani, where's the Lashon? Kasuv Batorah v'Shani by Nevi'im u'Mishulosh b'Ksuvim. Who cares what says in Ksuvim if it says it in the Torah already? You have it in the Torah. Well, you have to bring a Raya from Ksuvim, Shani, so the answer is no. Sometimes you go in that order. Go in that order. Tana said it, Amora said it, it's still okay. Fine, two dots. Ba'imine Rav Mirebi. What happens if I'm in my house and I'm living in a neighborhood without a neighbor? Somebody loads me up with food. I didn't do anything. I'm standing there. Somebody loads food or any type of bundle on top of me. Then I walk out to Rosh Hashanah. Did I do an Akira? If you remember the Mishnah said that if I have my hand inside, and the Balabais, let's say I'm the Ani, and I put my hand inside, the Balabais puts something into my hands, and then I take it out. What's that considered? What's that considered? Everybody read for the Mishnah? So I already put something into my hand, and then I pull it out. The Mishnah says that the Balabais did the Akira, and I did the Hanacha. Pulling my hand out is not called my doing the Akira. That's what the Mishnah said. So he asks the Gemara, what happens if somebody loads me up with stuff in my house, and then I walk outside? So is that similar to my pulling my hand out after being loaded up? Or is it different? Because my whole body, I move my whole body. Right, you got the question? That's the question. If somebody loads up my hand, and I pull my hand out, I'm putzer. That's not called my doing an Akira. He did the Akira. But if somebody loads my whole body up and then I walk outside, what about that case? Mahu. That's the question. And I took it outside. Mahu. Akira's gufo ka akira's chefes bibkomo dami. Is the uprooting of my body just like the uprooting of an object, meaning the chayiv, meaning when you move, that's an Akira. What do you mean? It's not like bringing your hand out. That's not an Akira. But when your body goes from one place to another, that's called an Akira. Oh, Dilma lo? Or you say no. No, I didn't do it. I didn't put this stuff on me. So Amalei Chayiv Ve'enu Dom Eliado. So answers Rebbe Tarav. No Chayiv, it's not like your hand. Don't compare it. In the case where you just bring your hand out after stuff being put into your hand, that's Pater. But with your whole body, that's going to be Chayiv. My time, a why? Gufo Nayich Yado Lo Nayich. Your guf, when it gets the food onto it, it's resting. And when you start walking, that's an Akira. That's a new Akira. When you start, every step that a person takes is an Akira. Not every step, but when you start walking. When you're standing outside and you're just bringing your hand in, your hand isn't really in the other rishus fully. It's connected to your body. So therefore, when you bring it out, that's why that's not called an Akira. So that was Rav asked the question from Rebbe, and Rebbe gave the answer.
Why if the Ani took it himself?
So if the Ani, because then he did an Akira also.
He's standing.
Oh, so we're going to get to exactly what rishus the hand is considered, but then who else are you going to say did the Akira? It is an Akira of a Chayfetz in a different Rishus. Who else did the Akira then? There's nobody else to label it to. So Amalei Reb Chiya Rav. Reb Chiya says to Rav, Rav who asked the question from Rebbe, Bar Pachsi, Rav says, Ben Gedolim, great one. Lo Amin Alecha, haven't I told you before? Ki Koi Rebbe Baha Mesechta, when Rebbe is giving a shiur in certain Mesechta, Lo Tishayli B'Mesechta Achrisi, don't ask him about another Mesechta. obviously we don't know the details, but it must have been, it sounds like that he asked him from a different Masechta, right? He's learning Kiddushin. Don't ask him about Sanhedrin. Dilma lava daite. Maybe he's not going to know. De'ilav, and therefore he's going to be embarrassed. De'ilav de Rebbe gavar abahu. If Rebbe wouldn't have been the Gadol Hadar, then kasafte, you would have embarrassed him. De'mishani l'cho shinuyu de'lav shinuyuhu. He might have given you a wrong answer. Hash de'mia shapir mishani l'cho. Even though here, he didn't. Here he gave the right answer, because he's a great person. The Tanya, as it says in a Braisa, there's a Braisa that even backs a person up, backs him up. The Tanya, ha'yitad ochlenu mashimi ba'od yom, an interesting case. Let's say you get loaded up, you load up yourself on Friday afternoon, before Shabbos. And then you keep it on you, v'hotiyan lachutz, and then afterward on Shabbos you went out, what's the halacha, mishach ha'sheicha, chayiv. In that case you're chayiv, why? L'fi she'ino domo liyado. Because, what's the why? Because we say, that's not called doing an Akira on Friday afternoon. Once you move outside, that's called an Akira. Similar to the case that Rav asked about, that if you get loaded up by your friend on Shabbos, then you go outside, that's called your Akira, and not your friend's Akira. So, that's what Rav Chiya just commented to Rav, how can you do it? If you want to look in the Chasam Sofer just discusses, didn't he know this halacha? What he really was, he was giving shir about one mesechta, he asked about another mesechta. What Rav was also a gadol. You know, Rav knew this halacha. So he discusses that. It's quoted in Hilchas Talmud Torah, this halacha. That if a Rebbe is giving about halachas, about what types of questions you're allowed to ask. And if a Rebbe is giving a shir about something, you have to wait till he comes in. You can't ask him on the run. A question be'iyun, you have to give him time. You know, because a lot of times if you ask him and he's not in the right atmosphere and doesn't have yeshiva das, it's not fair to him. It's going to be embarrassing if he can't answer. So Rav in Hilchas Talmud Torah discusses all of this. It's also interesting here that Rav asked Rebbe the question. Right? Rebbe was Rebbe Danasi. The Gemara says many times, Rav Tana Upalig. That Rav was at that Rav lives on the border. Interesting. Rav here, he has an illustration that Rav was on the border. He was talking to Rebbe. What was Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi? So somehow they got together. I guess it's a good question. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi was in Eretz Yisrael and Rav was in Bavel. Okay. Weiter. Sorry. Email. Yeah. Amar Abaya. People traveled. Yeah.
If the onion
stands inside and put it on the table.
On the table.
He brought something from outside to inside, put it on the table.
And then
he's chayiv. It's finished. Right? He brought something inside the outside, he picked it up, he put it down. So then the hand is not moving.
Right.
Oh, so that Tosas quotes on the bottom. It's a good question. Tosas on the bottom says, is the point that the hand is not resting that it's just connected to the body? But what if you put Tosas asked that on Rashi? That's why he has a different girsa on the bottom. It's a good question. Okay. Amar Abaya, Viter, two dots. Okay. Pshita li yadu shal adam ena lo kershes rabim lo kershes yachid. Abaya says it's obvious to me that a person's hand in the opposite rishus of his body is not fully like a rishus rabim or like a rishus yachid. Meaning it's not pulled after his body totally either. Where do you know that from? Kershes rabim lo dam ya miyado da'ani. You know it's not like a Rosh Hashanah from the case of the hand of the Ani, which in the case where the Ani sticks his hand in and the Baal HaBayis takes it from there, let's say the Ani sticks his hand in to the house, the Baal HaBayis takes it from there. You don't consider that the Baal HaBayis is taking something from Rosh Hashanah. So therefore you see that the hand of a person standing in Rosh Hashanah doesn't have the status of Rosh Hashanah, or else the Baal HaBayis would be chayiv taking it from the Ani's hand, which is in his house. And the opposite case, and you know it's not fully like Rosh Hashanah from the opposite way. The Baal HaBayis has his hand out. When the Ani, who's standing outside, takes it from the Baal HaBayis' hand, which is outside, the Ani's not chayiv. That's not called taking it from Rosh Hashanah. So the hand is not called a hand in an opposite Rosh Hashanah. It's not fully Rosh Hashanah, private domain. It's not fully Rosh Hashanah, public domain. So Abaya says, that I know. But boy, Abaya, yodo shal adam, mao shetasa karmelis. Is the hand of a person what we call karmelis? Something that we're going to have discuss a lot. A karmelis is a derabbanon created rishus. There are four types of rishuyos in halacha. There's a full public domain, rishus harabim, d'oraisa. Private domain, rishus hayachid. Karmelis, which is a derabbanon status. You can't go from a karmelis to either of the others. You can't go from a Karmelis to Rishus HaRabim or to Rishus HaYachid. It's a quasi-Rishus. Mida Oraisa, it's a Rishus HaYachid. But the Rabbanan made it, most areas, I think, Bizman HaZeh, are Karmelises. right? Backyards and other things. Karmelis, it's a drabanan type of rishus. And then you have something called makom ptur. Totally potter place, which we'll get to, something, let's say, above 10 tefachim in the air. That's called a makom ptur. But the Gemara says, is the hand at least a karmelis? Mi kansua rabbanan lahadur lagabe olo. And what's the nafka mean if it's a karmelis or not? The nafka mean is, let's say I put my hands, let's say the ani puts his hand into the house with something on Shabbos. So we said, you know, that's not the call of Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara is asking, do we say that his hand is called a karmelis when it's in a different rishus, and therefore we're not going to allow him to bring his hand back? I want to make him stay there the rest of Shabbos like that, with his hand sticking out in the other side of the rishus. So that's the nafka mina if it's called a karmelis. So you might find that somewhat extreme. It's his fault. He stuck his hand in, and we might make him stay there. It's a symbol. We discussed something a couple of years ago. Isra Drabbanan of Kotzer. This is Drabbanan to climb a tree on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch talks about different cases where we might make the person stay up in the tree on the rest of Shabbos because of what he did. So that's a similar case where you might be an Isra Drabbanan involved, where you might have to stay there. Anyway, so that's the question that he asked. Lamaisa, if somebody does this with his hand, is he allowed to take his hand back on Shabbos, or does he have to leave it out there? Tashma. So says the Gemara, we have two brises. Haisa yada malaya peiros vosi al lachutz. His hand is full with fruit, and he puts it outside. Tani chada asar lachzira, but tani aida wadalachzira. You have two brises. One says it's mutter to take it back. One says it's asar to take it back. So my lab says the Gemara says, isn't this b'haka miflagi? Isn't this what they're arguing about? The mar sabar ka karmelis damia, mar sabar lachka karmelis damia. One brisa which says it's asar to bring your hand back holds that your hand has turned into a karmelis, and therefore, when you bring it back, you're going to violate. So that's why you have to keep your hand out there. And the other bryce says, no, it's not a karmelis. It's nothing. It's your body. So bring it back. You're not allowed to drop it, because then you're going to be chayev. Bring it back. So you didn't do anything. I can stick my hand in and put my hand back. As long as I don't put it down, I can bring it back. So that's what the Gemara first suggests. So the Gemara says, no. Lo, dekuli alma, the Gemara is going to have five answers. Five pshatim, other pshatim, of what the machlokas is between these two bryces. It's not about whether your hand is like a karmelis or not. Five other pshatim, what the machloket, again, the two brises. One brisa says, if you stick your hand out, you have to leave it there the rest of the day. The other one says, if you stick your hand out, you're allowed to bring it back in. What's that machloket about? We said it's not about whether your hand is a karmelis. Five pshatim. Velo kasha, first day up. Lo kan lamata me'asara, kan lamala me'asara. No, with the brisa that says that it's also to bring your hand back in is a case where your hand is under 10 tefachim. So we said under 10 tefachim is called a karmelis. So that's why, or it's a reshus hamechayeves. Therefore, you can't bring your hand back. What's the case where it's mutter? Well, you're holding your hand above 10 tefachim, which is not so high. A tefach is about 3.5, is like this amount. It's like 3.5 inches or so. So how high is 10 tefachim? Like here? So most cases will be above 10 tefachim, and in that case it's mutter, because you're in a makom ptur. You're in an exempt reshus, and therefore you'd be able to bring your hand back. That's answer number one. He pointed that he's doing a hanacha in the same place where he started, so it's not chayev. It's not a hanacha amachayevas.
But it's
being a karmelis. No, once you bring your hand back, that it's not called a karmelis anymore. Then your hand is with you.
Into the karmelis in the first place, on the 10th.
But there's no hanacha there. Until you put it down, there's no hanacha.
So why should
the chayev? It's not, well, according, well, you're not, no, the Gemara just says you're not allowed to bring your hand back in. Because your hand already has the status of a karmelis.
Why does it have a status of a karmelis?
And therefore, it could be in a chinami. So maybe this is called an akira when you bring it back in, and it's going to be a hanacha back in your rishus, because you're switching directions. Good question. Bibayis Ema, second answer. Idiv idi lamata me'asara. No, they're both under 10 tefachim. V'lavka karmelis damya. And it's not like a karmelis. So therefore, why, if it's not like a karmelis, why should there be a reason for you not to be able to bring your hand back in? It depends when you put your hand out there. Mi bodyom, if you put your hand out there on Friday, not on Shabbos, you didn't do anything wrong. So lokan suar rabbanan. The rabbanan weren't konis you then. You did it on Friday. For whatever reason, you did it on Friday. Let's say you didn't realize what time it was. And you put something out, you're like, oh, is it Shabbos? Right? And then, so that's why, if you did it on Friday, so this is not going to turn into this is not an akira, the Araisa. So therefore, you did it on Friday. Therefore, we're not kones you. Mishachasheicha kansua rabbanan. But if you did it on Shabbos, then you have to keep your hand out there. Then we're kones you. Then it's a knas. So the Gemara says, okay, that's the second possibility. In the case where you did it Friday, it's mutter. You take your hand back. Shabbos is not. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Adarava ifcha mistavra. Just the opposite would make sense. Mib od yom, if you put your hand out to the other rishus on Friday, so then what would happen if you might by mistake are going to drop the object? You have to keep your hand out there for the next 8 hours. There's a good chance you're going to drop the object. What's going to happen if you drop the object? So if you had put it out there on Friday, and now you drop the object, So then it's not going to be a daraisa. So there we should say, yeah, keep your hand out there. Because we're not fooling around with daraisas there. But litnisur rabbanon. But mishach hashecha. But if you put your hand out there after it got dark, the ishadilei asib ledichiyav chatas, which is going to lead you to bring a karban. If you drop it, lo litnisur rabbanon. So shouldn't the rabbanon not be konis you there? Again, we're not, the approach of this question is not that, because the guy, we're making it easier for the guy who did something worse here. That's true. The guy who did it on Shabbos, we're saying don't be konis. But still, the question is that the rabbanon shouldn't make a halacha which is going to force a guy to violate, and this is daraisa. Not force, basically he's going to drop it probably. So the Gemara says, how could the rabbanon do this? In the daraisa case where he might drop it, shouldn't we say there, give him leniency? So the Gemara says, umi deloka mishanin hachi, by the fact that we don't say that, and what do we say? What do we say? We say that if he did it on Shabbos, we make him keep his hand out there. In other words, the Rabbanan are going to force him. They're not going to allow him to take his hand back. And we're going to say, he might drop it. We're not worried that he's going to violate it as a daraisa. That's not a concern of the rabbis. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, you could prove a question of somebody else. Tif shows the Rabbi Barabaya. You could prove a case of Rabbi Barabaya. Debai Rabbi Barabaya. Rabbi Barabaya asked, Hidvik pas betanur. In the olden days, they used to bake, not by putting something in a bowl on a batter and then sticking it in the oven. They used to stick it to the side of the wall of the oven. Remember, a couple last year, we were in Eretz Yisrael, so we saw how do they make pita? You have like this metal upside down bowl, and they put the dough on top, like they on flat on the thing to make a pita, and then that's how it's baked. That's how they did all baking in the days of the Gemara. You slap it onto the wall of the oven. So let's say a person slaps, let's say he forgets a Shabbos. So let's say he puts some bread in there. He'd be pas betaner. And then all of a sudden he realizes, oh my goodness, it's Shabbos. Before it's baked. Is he allowed to take it off the wall? Because we know, just to give you background information, there's an issur d'rabbanan to take bread, to take batter off of a wall. An issur d'rabbanan to take bread off of a wall of an oven which is not baked yet. Either because, the Rambam says, because if you're involved in, like, you might come to really cook because you're involved in oven stuff, or the Ran here says it's uvdin d'chol. Whatever the reason is, there's an issur d'rabbanan to remove it. So Rabbi Rabbaya asked, do the Rabbanan allow you to violate this Issur d'Rabbanan to save you from violating the Daraisa, which is if you do nothing, you're going to be chayav for Ofe, for baking on Shabbos. He had that Ibai, he had that question. Would the Rabbanan waive this Issur d'Rabbanan, or allow you to violate it, in order to save yourself from an Issur d'Raisa? Olohi Tiru, he had that question. So says the Gemara, Tivsho Tolohi Tiru. Prove from our discussion right here that it's not mutter. Why? Because what does our Gemara say? If you have your hand outside, then we're kodesh you can't bring your hand back in, even though you might drop it and come to violate it as a daraisa. So you see, the rabbis, the rabbanon, aren't so interested. If you put yourself into a situation where you're going to violate a daraisa, tough luck. It's your fault. We're not going to let you do things just to prevent yourself from doing a daraisa, from violating a daraisa. So just like in the case where you stick your hand out and they don't allow you, even though you might drop it, which would cause you to bring a carbon chatas, to violate a daraisa, so too, the Gemara says, prove to Rabbi Rabbi's question that we're not going to allow you to take the bread, the dough, off the wall. We're not going to allow that to you, even though you can be violate a daraisa. Oh, that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. But l'chora, the pasha of this Gemara is that you're not chayiv yet. Only when it bakes. Only when it bakes. Correct.
But I don't understand. If you take it out, if you take sticking hand out before Shabbos, even with
no, this isn't before. This being medayik from the case where you stuck your hand out on Shabbos. If you stuck your hand out before Shabbos, then you're not going to be chayiv even if you drop it. If you stuck your hand out on Shabbos, what? No, so that's why in the case of from before Shabbos, so then we say that that is a case where we're not konis you. You're allowed to bring it back in. So we're going to talk about that. That's what the Gemara talks about at the top of the next Amud. If we get there today, if not, Bezrim tomorrow. Let's say by accident.
So you're saying you should do a b'mezid d'rabbanan as opposed to shagig d'raisa.
As opposed to letting nature take its course. Yes. But still, it's a carbon chatos. It's an issur daraisa. Even issur daraisa b'shogeg requires a carbon. So you're right, it's a shogeg, but still, you're still considered violating. It's a shogeg, but it's still considered violating. So that's why that was his ibaya. So Gemara says, can we prove that we're not going to allow you to do it? So Gemara says, holo kasha v'tivsho. Okay, fine. Is that a kasha? Prove it. Prove it that the Rabbanan aren't going to allow you to do that. They're not going to allow you to violate the Rabbanan in order to do the Doraisa. But that was all answer number two, how to explain the two different Brises. One Brise that says you have to keep your hand out there. One Brise says you can't keep your hand out there. The difference, the answer is, this second answer is, it depends when, whether you put out your hand on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, or on Shabbos. No, because that, well, by the time that it baked, before it burned, you're chayiv. Right, let's say you write something on Shabbos, and then you burn it, and then you destroy the paper. You violated b'shaito, and then you destroyed what you still baked, you baked. Well, let's do a little more. V'bayisayim al olamotiv shot. Again, another answer, another difference. Actually, you know what? There's something to say on the third answer, so let's wait with the third answer. I just want to say something on the second answer. There's a discussion that we had a couple of years ago, very important, on this Gemara. The Gemara, as Josh said before, it passes to this Gemara, baking is only chayiv when? If I put something on the fire, I'm only chayiv 3 hours later. Right? When it cooks. So says the Rishash on Daf Ayin Gimel, in the back of the Gemara, he says, you know what? What happens if you put something on the fire 2 minutes before Shabbos is over? And it bakes afterwards. Right, so that's what he talks about that case. So he says you're going to be chayiv anyway because you're chayiv for what cooks later, but you're chayiv retroactively. And says the Rishash, it's just like the malacha of, remember, Zoreya. Very good, it's like Zoreya. Zoreya, I plant something today; it doesn't take root for 3 days. Says the Rishash, it's the same thing. You're chayiv at T1 for. With a tenai, like it's like as long as whatever in the future happens, as long as it takes root, as long as it bakes later on, it's going to be chayiv for T1. The Menachas Chinuch takes issue with the Rishash. The Menachas Chinuch in Parshas Yisro says that this Gemara is about baking. Baking requires what happens later, but Zri is different. Says the Menachas Chinuch, if you put a seed down in the ground and then you pick it up 5 minutes later, you have violated the Malacha of Zoreya. The Malacha of Zoreya is putting the seed in the ground, not. You don't even need the taking the root. Even if you put it on the ground, al-manas, on al-das, you think that you're going to pick it up in 5 minutes. You're still chayiv da'oraisa, says the Menachas Chinuch. So it's a real machlokas about Zoreya, but the machlokas is this Gemara of ours purely about Bishul, or can you apply it to other malachas? But this is a second answer to the two steerers, and we have three more, which we'll go pretty quickly. Three more answers, but we're gonna stop here. Okay, today's shiur was L'Zecha Nishmas Moshe Ben Yosef. And everybody's invited across the street. Davening will start in 4 minutes.